Blog Talk Radio.
Joining us on another episode of Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein. I am one of the hosts for the show, Kenny, and I have my beautiful wife sitting here next to me.
Hello, everyone. This is Kwajalein.
All right. And tonight we're going to talk about a topic that I found very interesting when I found out about us this being the subject for the show. And the topic for tonight, the topic for tonight is, is attachment parenting the right way to parent? The theory of attachment parenting is becoming more common than before. We are finding more parents who are turning away from the more traditional style of parenting and adopting the attachment methods. Is the attachment method of parenting the correct way to parent? What are the advantages of parenting this way, and what are the disadvantages of parenting this way? Thank you again for joining us on tonight. Today's date is January 24th. The time now is 8:02 p.m. Eastern Time. And we're just going to discuss this controversial style of parenting. Callers, please feel free to, listeners, please feel free to call us in at 657-383-1571 if you have any comments that you would like to make on tonight's topic. Again, that number is 657-383-1571. Thank you very much for calling again, and I have my first caller on the air. Caller ending in at 2174. Are you on the air?
Hi, Pastor Kwajalein and Pastor Kenneth.
Hey, how you doing, Miss Phyllis?
Doing good. How you all doing?
Fine.
Not bad at all.
All right. Good to hear.
How's your new year been going so far?
Well, so far, so good, Pastor Kwajalein. I just thank God for allowing me to see it, and I made it over in 2017.
All right.
Amen to that.
I know that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know that's right.
What about
y'all? It's going good. Going good. No reason to complain. God is faithful.
Yes, he is.
Yep. Well, you are our first caller on tonight. And actually, before we get in the actual topic, you know, while we're waiting to see if anyone else is going to call in, I wanted to talk to you all about this news article.
Mm-hmm.
That I saw online. It was actually in the Telegraph page.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a 70 year old Kansas City man.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about this? He pled guilty to robbing a bank last year because he was tired of living with his wife. I'm sorry, wow. not funny. But he said that he would prefer to go to jail than to deal with living with her anymore. I guess I just don't understand how it gets to that point. Like, he couldn't do, wasn't that kind of drastic? Couldn't he just have moved out? I mean, but what are your thoughts on that, Vance?
Well, I think that was a bit drastic. He went from one extreme to the next with that. Because the very mere thought of him thinking about doing something like that because he was tired of living with his wife, I think is absurd. I mean, if he was really having an issue with her, I mean, he could have said, look, you know, we can move in different rooms. You know, like old people used to do back in the day. They married for 70 years, but they stay in different rooms, you know. but I tell you, I mean, that's just something I can imagine being without my wife for 10 minutes, let alone talking about going to prison for a federal offense. Negative.
And it says, the article said that he went into the bank, he had a gun, he handed them a note, right, saying that he had a gun and that he was, you know, he was robbing the bank. And so the teller gave him $2,924. And then after he got the money, he went and sat down in the bank lobby and waited for the police. And when they came, he was like, I'm the one you're looking for. I was just like, wow. I mean, he was that miserable at home. He wrote the letter in front of his wife and told her he would rather go to prison than to live with her. So that's horrible. Anyway, so for you married folks out there listening, let's make sure we don't get disappointed where they'll go rob a bank just to go to jail. That's horrible.
But, you know, it sounds like, too, there was no communication there because he had it been some communication. I don't think that man would have went to the extreme.
Right. Because
a lot of times, Pastor Ken and Pastor Quan, you know, we do send out signals, you know, to try to get these people attention, but they are not listening. And so he probably felt like that was his only way out, you know, and I agree with what you all said. You know, why didn't he go in the next room or either just find him another place of residence to stay if it was that bad?
Right. Yeah, that's pretty bad. But yeah, so, you know, I said I was going to start just bringing up some little stories like that, you know, while we're waiting, but I just thought that was interesting. That was very interesting. So we have a couple more callers on the line. We're going to go ahead and introduce them, and then we'll go ahead and, you know, get into the topic because we have a lot to talk about here. Adriana, are you there? I think I got it right.
I am. Good evening.
I got it right. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm doing good. I've been enjoying looking at your page, looking at your pictures.
Okay.
You have a beautiful family, a beautiful, beautiful family. Thank you for calling in on tonight, and your line will be open, so we look forward to, you know, joining in on the conversation.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
You're welcome. Shannon, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Hello. Go ahead, baby. You gonna do what you usually do when Shannon calls? Okay.
Just leave me alone.
He's tired.
I know he is.
Because, you know, he supposed to be on that. Well, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm tired,
good,
too, but I'm good. I'm calling in tonight.
Well, thank you for calling. We appreciate that. And we look forward to your input on tonight.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and get into the topic, attachment parenting. What is attachment parenting? Now, attachment parenting, it was influenced by a psychologist by the name of John Bowlby, and but it was actually brought about by William Sears, a pediatrician, him and his wife. And so it insinuates that in order to raise children into healthy, secure adults who understand and display independence and empathy, there must be a nurturing connection between the parent and the child, which I think most of us can agree on that. And so there are some principles to attachment parenting, which I think a lot of us agree with. But this new, well, it's not new. I don't want to say it's new because it's not new. But I do see that this is a style of parenting that is growing more and more. And so we want to talk about this to see whether, you know, if it's beneficial, some parts of it is beneficial, which I do think some parts are, you know, is it too far? So anyway, I'm going to just do a little overview of it. There are 8 principles, pretty much. First of all, you know, in attachment parenting, they believe that it's important for you to prepare for pregnancy, birth, and parenting. Get rid of any negative feelings, you know, that you may have even if, when you find out you're pregnant, if you have any negative feelings, to do away with those feelings. Number two, they are believers in breastfeeding, which a lot of people are, but they're very strong, you know, with believing in breastfeeding, but not just breastfeeding infants. They believe in going past the infant stage, you know, into toddler, pretty much some of them, as long as your child wants it. You know, if they're 4 years old, then
what?
You do it. Well, that's, yeah. you go into that form. Always respond in a sensitive way. Pretty much they believe that everything a child does is an expression of their emotions. It doesn't matter what it is, you know, whether it be good, whether it's acting out, tantrums. Go ahead, open up. It doesn't matter. They believe in always responding in a sensitive way. No, you know, no punishments or a punitive type deals. Utilize a nurturing touch, you know, wearing your baby on you, you know, and even your toddlers, not just your infants. But they also believe in the wraps and the things, you know, wearing your toddlers on you, you know, so that they believe in skin to skin, a lot of skin, you know, skin to skin. I know when I had Jared, that's what they did in Germany. As soon as I had him, they wanted them to put him on my skin, you know, put a skin to skin. So they believe in that joint bath, you know, taking baths with your kids and things like that. They believe in nighttime pairing, co-sleeping. You know, have your children asleep in the bed with you. And if they want to get up, you know, at 1 or 2 o'clock, even if they're 2 years old, and if they get up at 2 o'clock in the morning to be fed, to be breastfed, then you still do that. Constant loving care. Pretty much they believe that a parent should be present majority of the time, that children should not spend more than like 20 hours a week, you know, a certain amount of time in daycare. Positive discipline. They believe in redirection and distractions. And, of course, they say they believe in balance, okay, balance for the mom and the child. But one of the things that I was seeing, you know, when I was researching this, I've heard of it plenty of times, but I just did a little more research for the show. They believe that the child, the baby or slash child, leads. So pretty much whenever the baby cries or the toddler wants, then the parent, they said the parent, but I found a lot of the research was saying mother, but they say parent, then you react and respond immediately to what that child wants. You respond immediately to their demands. They're not big on vaccinations, definitely not schedules. And let me say this before I go any further. I do believe that there are probably some that are a little, you know, some may alter, you know, whatever. Like you may have some attachment parenting theories that may be okay with certain things, whereas others are not. But anyway, they don't, you know, no schedules. They're not big on that. In other words, you know, as you go according to the cue of the baby or the child, because this is supposed to show them that, you know, their feelings are important, and you know, that we as the caregivers are going to respond to them when they need and meet their needs, emotional needs and things like that. One article I said even said that the mother should feel complete by the presence of her baby, and no playpens, you know, coming away from putting them in playpens and car seats and that type of thing. But, you know, having them again with you and just kind of allowing, like I said, the child to take the lead. It doesn't matter if you're tired, all of that. You know, no putting them in a bed and allowing them to cry themselves to sleep. But you respond to them. If they cry, you know, you get up, you comfort them, and, you know, all of that. You know, you don't put them in the bed and say and let them soothe themselves with crying. They don't believe in that. So these are, you know, this is pretty much what the attachment theorists believe, and we're seeing that this is growing more and more in our society. More and more people are going to that. And like I said, you know, it's not just the breastfeeding of your baby. It's not that. It's beyond that. It's like, no, you don't wean them off at 12 months. This is, you allow them to wean themselves off when they get ready, you know, even if they're, you know, into toddler age. Okay, so we're going to open up the line for everyone to talk about, but we do have two more callers right now. Evangelist Aria, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I am great.
Good. Well, you know, whenever you want to, you know, do what we talked about, you just go right on ahead, okay?
yes, ma'am.
All right. Well, the line is open. We look forward to hearing what you have to say on tonight. Keisha, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Hello, everyone.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys tonight?
We're okay. We're doing okay.
Good.
Well, we thank you for calling. We look forward to hearing your input on tonight.
Yay!
So we're talking about attachment parenting. So anyway, so I just gave, you know, a quick rundown of what it is. Now, they do believe these, you know, the theory is that, well, this is a theory, but I think it's true. Attachments are necessary for infants to learn, trust, and feel secure emotionally. And, you know, when they don't form attachments, then we do see, you know, kids that could grow up with anger issues, a lack of empathy, you know, attachment disorders such as RAD, and those type of things. So, you know, and those are sometimes the kids that can become very, very dangerous because they don't know how to form a positive, you know, they don't know how to form a positive attachment. So does anybody have anything to say about attachment parenting? What do you guys feel about it? Do you feel as though it's the right way to go? Do you feel as though, you know, there's an advantage, there are advantages, disadvantages. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I feel there are probably some pros and cons for some people. However, I myself don't agree with the attachment parenting theory. But when it comes to, you know, a child, the child being the one that's running the house, I beg to differ with that. Now when you have little bitty small babies, you know, that cannot communicate, you know, and they're like, you know, days old, weeks old, months old, what have you. I think it's just an implied comment or an implied opinion to say that when they're that size, they pretty much run your schedule. You know, for at least the first year and a half, first 18 months of their life. And that's simply because they cannot communicate and tell you what it is they want. But, you know, once they're able to talk, you know, the parents are the ones who actually should be the forerunners to communicate and teach their children how to communicate and, you know, give feedback and actually communicate what it is he or she wants or what they desire to have. And you know, you're teaching them the right and the wrongs in life. And the breastfeeding thing, you know, past, however age it's supposed to be, I honestly don't agree with a child being 4 or 5 years old running around to my mom, let me get some milk, you know, unless you're going to get a glass of milk. But I don't agree with that, you know what I'm saying, because now mama's still lactating and she's still producing milk because, you know, there's some suckling still going on. And I don't agree with that, you know. Then mom got to be uncomfortable. She got to walk around with the nipple pads on because she's gonna be leaking through her shirt and her bra and all this jazz. I don't think that's good, you know. And that's just me. As far as with the positive discipline, you know, the redirecting, I think most parents tend to do that anyway because, you know, we tell the kid, Look, I'm going to tell you right now, you better get yourself together before it be some problems for you. I think that's redirecting right there. That's me telling you, look, turn around. Don't go down that street with me today. Because if you do, you're going to hit a dead end. So I think that's perfect positive redirection right there. Does it always take you spanking the child? No, it doesn't. Because, you know, sometimes some parents can just get their children to look and their children melt in their hands. But others, you know, you got to give them that look plus some. You know, because they still try it. But that's just my take on it. I don't want to talk and over-talk everybody because I'm sure everybody has a lot to say.
Anybody else have any thoughts on attachment parenting?
This is Shannon. Well, I don't agree with it at all. I do believe with skin-to-skin contact when you do have your newborn and with your, you know, with your infant, if you choose to breastfeed, you know, I don't see anything wrong with that. I do think that there is a cutoff period because the child becomes, in my opinion, becomes too dependent, you know, just their mom being in their space all the time. And so, to me, it will interfere with the child developing, you know, or having positive social skills with other people. They may tend to be extra spoiled, and then they want to be in the bed with you 24/7. So that means that you probably won't have any, you know, private time with your husband, or it will be very difficult or challenging. And so I don't agree with that. I think that those are that type of parenting, you are creating a very spoiled child. And so, like with me, I have 4 children. I didn't breastfeed because I just couldn't take all the pain. I just couldn't. But I did not allow them to sleep with me. So even as, you know, my children ages from 7 to 19, but with all 4 of them, while they were little, you know, every blue moon we may sleep together, but like every night, no. Because you have a bed, and I need my quiet time. You need yours. So, I just don't agree with that method.
And it's interesting that you brought up the how it could affect the husbands and the wives. Hey, Keto, your line is open. How you doing?
Hey, I'm all right, yourself.
Good. It's interesting that you brought that up, Shannon, because that's something else that I also saw as I was, you know, reading up on it. Like, it's common. I'm not going to say it happens all the time, but it's not unheard of for, you know, the husbands to end up getting out of the bed, you know, going to sleep on the sofa in another room, because, you know, with this, the child or the children, they're in the bed with the parents. And so even one article I was reading saying that, you know, pretty much they have to learn how to be creative, and even when they're, you know, having their intimate time, they have to make a schedule and say they'll do it different parts of the day and different rooms and, you know, things. But would you do that anyway when you have little, well, I'm not saying doing it all in a different room. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say, you know, alter some schedules. Not that there's anything wrong with going to different rooms. Okay, I'm going to stop if I don't got myself in trouble. Okay, trouble, what I'm saying is, in other words, they are tiptoeing around the kids because the kids are running the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has caused issues in their, you know, in the relationship. And so, you know, I do think that there are some good aspects of it, you know, of the attachment parenting, but I think we can take anything too far. And so, yeah, that's my take. That's my take on it. But yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to make it to me. I mean, I don't know if it's an old school thing or whatever, but I know when I was young, when I had my son, and my mom stressed to me, don't let him sleep with you, because he's going to always sleep with you. Don't let him sleep with you. And me growing up, you know, when my parents were together, we didn't sleep with our parents either. But it just seemed like to me, like now, I just think people are just lazy. They don't want to get up out of bed, and, you know, if they baby waking up in the middle of the night and want to eat, they just, it's easy to roll over and, you know, just put the breast in their mouth if you're still breastfeeding, opposed to actually physically getting up, getting the baby, because it's, you know, it's 2-3 o'clock in the morning or whatever if you're dealing with a new baby. So a lot of people, they tell me, you know, well, I'm tired. But I know with me, I got up, you know, fixed the bottles, did whatever time, every 3-4 hours when they were that young. But I think it's just easier. And people, they like what's easy nowadays. So.
And you're right, because I had people to tell me that too. I didn't breastfeed my children either, just because I just didn't. I didn't want to. Oh, my gosh, sorry. I just never turned my ringer down. I didn't want to, and, you know, a lot of people didn't understand that, why I didn't want to. I just didn't want to. You know, I wanted to be able to allow my husband to help me, to allow, you know, my mom to help me. I thought about pumping at one point, but I never did, so I chose formula. But that was one thing that, you know, a lot of people would say to me, because it was just ridiculous the amount of negativity, shall I say, that I received from women because I chose not to breastfeed my baby, you know. Well, why? Oh, my gosh, they, you know, the kids are going to be smarter. I think I have pretty smart kids. I mean, that's just, maybe I'm saying that because they're my kids, but I don't think that they're dumb. I think my kids are pretty smart. But that was, you know, they would say that, and then they would be like, you know, and then you can be tired. All you got to do, you know, they'll find a nipple themselves. But, you know, you can still lay that sleep. Mm-hmm. I'm like, but it still didn't sell me on it, you know. And so you're right. That is part of it. And not that I'm against breastfeeding. I do think that breast is best. I do. I think it is, you know, of course, very nutritious and everything. It was just for me, I think it would have been, you know, too much for me, and I chose not to do it. That's just, you know, that's just what, that was my choice as far as that. So, yeah, I agree. I definitely agree with that. what you're saying. Anybody else, any thoughts on attachment parenting?
Yes, I do have something else. Let me see which rule that was, that which was principle that was. Oh, always responding in a sensitive way. Now, we human beings, flesh, and sometimes, y'all, if anybody can push you to that limit, it's them children, as them older folks would say, them children. They can push you to the limit, you know what I'm saying? So ain't no always responding in a sensitive way. And I beg to differ also with the fact that kids don't always take after their parents when it comes to that learning how to respond sensitively. Some kids, it's just their personality. Because they can have two mean parents, and then they can be born, and they can be just sweet as a lamb. But then there are other kids that you're trying to raise them right, but kids, just like I said, they're flesh. And kids, y'all, don't take this the wrong way, but y'all already know, you're probably going to ruin them. But kids can be selfish. They can be selfish. You know what I'm saying? They can see somebody with something that they got, and they can have the exact same thing they got, but because they enjoying theirs more, they want theirs. You know, so that's just children. I like the fact that my kids all have different personalities, you know, because we're not around here, you know, raising stepford's children, you know, where they're all moving around like robots, like, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. That sometimes, a kid, y'all already know. And my wife taught me this a long time ago. Kids, you just have to pick your battle with kids. Because you can tell them, yes, sir, 50 million times, yes, ma'am, 50 million times to say it. And when they don't want to say it, they ain't going to say it. I mean, it's just it's how it is. You know what I'm saying? But we as parents, we have to learn how to say, you know what, I ain't even dealing with you right now. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? Oh, look, okay, I got you. What you need? If you want this, you know, you got to ask for it properly. And if they don't ask for it properly, they don't get it. It's just that simple. But, you know, yes, dear. Can you have what? You want what? No. No. I don't agree with it. So that's basically where you're at the point where you're telling your kids, you don't have to say yes, sir. You don't have to say yes, ma'am. But at least say yes or no. No, you're going to say yes, sir, no, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, mom. Thank you, dad. I mean, that's just me.
Well, even with that, that's, you know, that's how we raise our kids, because we're from Georgia. You know, some people, they don't believe in the ma'am, sir. They think that's, and that's okay, and they'll teach them, and they'll have them to say yes and no. However, I do think that we have to make sure that our kids are using manners and things like that. And so another concern with this attachment parenting thing is, you know, are we raising – is that part of the problem why we're seeing the issues that we have where the kids really do feel like they're entitled?
You want me to answer that?
You know, and they – well, let me introduce my sister.
Oh, okay.
Keisha, are you there?
I am. Oh,
hi.
Hi, everybody.
Oh. I'm sorry. They did. I'm sorry,
right.
Keisha Kaylin. Huh?
Nothing. Okay. Hi, everybody.
Hey. Well, your line is open. Y'all, that was my sister that just called me on the phone that y'all heard because I didn't cut it down. That was my sister. So your line will be open, Keisha, to say what you have to say, ma'am.
Okay.
Does anybody else have anything to say about attachment parenting? What do you guys think? Is it a good thing? Is it the right thing? Is it – what do you guys think?
I think it's horrible, but and
you better say it, bro.
It should be because, like, like my 15-year-old daughter, you know, she, like, there was, like, pretty much she was raised to, you know, be able to do things for herself. You know, like, she is independent enough to be able to function on her own now. As a 15-year-old, you know, like, she, I mean, of course, you know, not mature enough, but she's independent enough that she's like, okay, well, you know, I need to get a job, you know, and things of that sort. She's not one of the me kids because she wasn't raised, like, you know, I don't even know how to describe it, but she wasn't raised to be, like, permanently attached to the parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've seen kids that are. You know, like, we have some friends that are here that we were stationed in Germany with, and they showed up here, you know, shortly after we did, you know, so we let them borrow plates and stuff like that. And they have kids. They have two kids, like the oldest maybe 3 or 4, and the youngest just turned 2 today. And that 2-year-old baby, when last Black Friday, they asked, hey, can we leave the babies with y'all while we go to Walmart for Black Friday shopping? Because they hadn't been here too long. They needed to get stuff for the house. And we were like, sure. That baby cried from the time, I mean, not just cried, she screamed at the top of her low lungs from the time they left to the time we got back.
Hmm.
And I'm just like, that, my goodness, that is ridiculous. You know, like, there's no way that I, you know, I'd be ashamed to leave my child with anybody. You know, so I'm not with the whole attachment parenting thing. You know, like, I would get upset when my kids would cry when I dropped them off at daycare. You know, it's just, I don't know, I'm just not a fan of it at all. You know, I want you to have some sort of independence, because if you're depending on me now this much, how is it going to be when you're 25, 26, 30? You know, you're not going to be living in my basement. I'm trying to move to an island where y'all don't know where I live and y'all just get postcards.
I'm with you 150%, brother, because when we get to that point where we're raising kids to be that dependent on their parents, wow. Look, y'all, my wife got more patience than me. You know what I'm saying?
She
had way more patience than me.
Then it becomes,
I,
like,
thank
what's
God.
The point?
Right.
You know,
what's the point?
How to be that dependent on the parents? What's the point in even raising?
Right.
You know, what's the point
right.
in even teaching them how to be an adult? You might as well just let them be a big kid their whole life if you're going to
just
teach and them just to be
live
that
with
dependent
you.
On you. Yeah.
50 years old, still living in the basement.
Exactly. Like,
ask
I ain't got
mama
that
to bring me a sandwich.
You know, by the time Gary's 50 years old, you know what I mean? I want him to be getting ready to have grandkids of his own.
Right.
You know, don't be, you know, trying to be in my basement, talk about mom, what you doing. No. That's not a good look.
It's not. And you know what I'm saying? If you rate, because when I say my wife has more patience than me, y'all, hear what I mean by this. Like, she can tell Jeremiah to come upstairs and grab her phone. Excuse me, Mom, will you tell me where your phone is? Jeremiah, just go. She told you it's upstairs in the room. Go upstairs in the room and look, son. Look for the phone before you start asking Mom to tell you where it's at. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real. Or she when she was teaching them how to cook, you know, Mom, would you tell me what I need to put it on? Jeremiah, you put it in a small pan because it's a little bitty hot dog. Or it's a little bitty piece of bacon. You know, you don't need, like, a big frying pan, but it's bacon. You know, and you know, I got to say that's my issue I have. I'm just not as patient as my wife. But what I'm a firm believer in, just like she's a firm believer in, is the concept of giving your children the opportunity to mess up so that way it could be a teachable moment. And then in that teachable moment, they're either going to, A, learn from their mistake, or they're going to, B, keep saying, would you please tell me what I need to do next? And then you're going to be like me. I'm the one that, son, take a time, try it. Give it a try first before you start asking me how to do it, because I already showed you how to do it. It's self-explanatory. Just do it this way. Boom, it's done. If I ask you to go find my keys are sitting on the couch. Don't ask me which couch is on. Just go down there and look on the couch. That's it.
Well, they argue that with this parenting style, it's supposed to teach your kids to be independent. That's
how?
The argument. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure. Maybe because you allow the child to lead you. I don't know because
that,
like I said, it's
don't make not a lick of sense.
I don't know.
Not one single. I don't understand how that makes sense. You know what that reminds me of? Letting the Child Lead Me. You remember that Adam Sandler movie, Big Daddy, with the little boy wore whatever he wanted and made up his own name and all? That's what that reminds me of. You know, like, there needs to be structure. You know, there needs to be some sort of structure in the household that your children have to follow. You know, like, that's actually one thing that I learned from a lot of my friends in Germany. You know what I mean? That, you know, like, I wasn't the type to just let my kids do whatever they want, but my kids really didn't have a set structure. You know, now it's to the point to where, you know, we have a rotating schedule in the house on chores. You know what chore you're on. You know what week it is. You know what chore you're on. If it's not done, then I know who to go find because the chore's not done. You know, but children need that. And I think it helps them develop as they get older. You know, like, I tell Gary all the time, like, you grew up in the house with me. You'll be fine because ain't no boss you ever going to have going to be rougher on you than I am.
Right.
And he doesn't understand that. But, like, I'm trying to teach you, like, your whole life I've been trying to teach you how to be a man. So, of course, I'm going to be hard on you when I'm softer on the girls because you got to be a man. You know, I don't know how to make a grown woman, but I do know how to make a man because I am one. So, yeah, I'm going to be harder than you because I want for you better than what I got right now. So, you know, it's the whole structure piece that I believe is missing from that parenting method, and it just doesn't make any sense to me how the kid can lead me along and tell me what to do and tell me what it wants and it gain independence. That makes no sense.
And I don't understand. Maybe I need to do more research in that. But they claim, you know, it makes them more secure and more independent and empathetic, you know, because they know that when they show a, you know, type of emotion, they cry or whatever, you know, that the parent, the caregiver, is going to respond, and so they intentionally come away from the schedule. That's part of the parenting theory. They intentionally come away, you know, from that. I like having my kids on a schedule, you know, and I know Shannon's big on schedules, and it does make it easier. I think I personally, this is just my opinion, I think it makes it easier for the kids, and I also think it makes it easier, you know, for us. But with this, you know, they intentionally come away from that, the more, I guess, traditional method. I don't know if that's what I would call it, but the more, you know, how they see it, but the more traditional method, you know, they come away from that, and it's just like, you know, it's on cue whenever the baby cries, you know, you don't put them on an every 2-3 hour schedule. And I know that's hard, especially for breastfeeding babies, to put them on a schedule. I think it's easier if your baby's bottle fed, formula fed, to put them on a schedule. But, you know, they intentionally, you know, they're intentionally not doing that. So, it's pretty interesting. I'm all for the baby wearing. I didn't do it with the boys. I did do it with Mariah. I actually did enjoy that, you know, having the wrap. However, she's 2.5, and there's no way I would put her in a wrap and carry her around. Just not about to do it. Nope. She's too grown. She's like a grown woman. She trying to tell me what to do, what I look like carrying her around on me. I'm not doing it. No, not doing it. Not at all. Not at all. Okay. Anybody else? What are your thoughts? Keisha Kaylin, you don't have anything to say? Evangelist, nothing to say? What do you guys think about attachment parenting? Adriana?
Well, I'm going to say I have to disagree with all y'all. No, I'm just playing.
you know, that wouldn't be nothing new.
You know, I like to keep it controversial. I don't feel like I would be participating in any kind of activities that line up with that. Just because I have to have a little bit of structure in our lives, I'm not a stay-at-home parent. I'm a go outside of the house and work parent. And I can't have you up all night trying to dictate to me. Like, no, I can't have you at 5 years old still breastfeeding, waking up every couple of hours talking about mama, I'm hungry. I'm so serious, though. Like, I would be very angry, very upset about that. So, no, that's not anything that I will be able to do. Now, Kaden did sleep with me for a while, but he slept with me for a little while. And even to this day, he'll sleep with me every night of the week if I let him, but that's not happening. So I can't imagine. And he didn't sleep with me, like, the whole time he was a baby. He just slept with me for a little while, and then I was like, no, you, like, interrupted my sleep because then they want to get all under you and, like, look for you while you in the bed, and I don't have time for that. I get very angry when I don't sleep. So we made that transition. It was rough. I slept him right in his bed, and we just kept it moving. But for, like, several years of that, that's not an option for me. And then I had to put my husband out of the bed. No, that's just me. Now, anybody else who want to do that, that's fine. I'm not, you know, trying to knock it. I'm so serious, so I really am. I respect anybody's decision. I have a cousin who believes in that, and she carries her baby around in their little baby sling, and that's fine. If that works for your family, that's. But she also, she don't go outside of the house to work either, so she have that luxury. That's just not anything that I'll be able to participate in.
Well, look, I don't go outside of the house, but let me tell you something. I'm not about to do all that. I'm not about to do all that. I'm not about to carry Jared. Imagine me carrying Jared around in a sling, really? No.
But wait.
Jared in the back. Girl, please. You already, child. You tripping? We got some more callers. Is that the Solomon 3975? Okay, you guys. We have our neighbor and her husband, her new husband, on the line. Tafoya and Tyree Solomon. They're on the line, y'all. They just got married. They are newlyweds.
Congratulations, Tafoya.
Hello. So they are calling in on tonight, I guess, to see what our show is all about. So we're going to make them feel all welcomed and stuff, you know. So, Solomons, your line is open. If you have anything to say, then please join on in and let us know what you're thinking.
Far as attachment parenting is concerned, about the whole sleeping in the bed, because, of course, my child slept with me for a long time, and me and my husband now trying to get her out of the bed and into her own bed, because now she cries every night the bed. So that transition, I believe that it should start earlier than a year and a half, because now it's harder than what it really had to be. But that's
and Leilani is still little, girl. Yeah, some people got their babies in the bed. They're not even babies, you know. They're not even babies. So she's, but you guys are doing great with that. So what? Hey Faye, your line is open. How you doing?
Good evening. Congratulations to the married couple.
Thank you.
So for you more experienced parents out there, what do you guys think about about the sleeping part, because that's another part of this theory. They say you don't let your child cry, you know, soothe themselves with crying. What do you guys think about that?
Well,
I feel like sometimes
it's unhealthy. My opinion on that is healthy too. And I heard one lady say that putting her baby out of bed, he cried. Well, you put him in his bed, he'll cry himself right on to sleep.
It's true. It's true.
And the thing is, you almost have to know your child. You know what I mean? Like it's, I mean, granted, my youngest is 6, so I've kind of been doing this for a while. My oldest will be 19 in March. So, but it's almost like you have to know your children. Like, if I put the kid in the bed and the kid starts crying, you can kind of tell if it's a I want mommy cry, if there's something wrong cry. And if you know, I mean, you know, he's just whining because he wants to get in the bed with us or whatever, let him sit there. You know what I mean? But if there's something wrong with him, then, of course, you got to go attend to your kid. But my suggestion to anybody, you know, tell people, because it really does work, don't put the kid in the bed with you. Put the kid's crib in your room. You know, and that, I mean, so pretty much now the baby is sleeping by itself from birth. You know, it's not worried. I mean, the only thing you have to do is just crib to another room. They're still sleeping in the same spot. You know, once you're comfortable enough, that they'll sleep all night.
Well, I want to know, why do y'all do that? Is it just the new generation parents?
Do what?
What'd you say,
Faye? What'd you say? I said, why do people do that? Is it just a new generation parents?
Why do people put their kids in the bed?
I did it with Caden, not because I didn't want to get up, because really he had a bassinet right on the side of my bed, so it wasn't that I didn't want to get up or anything, because I wasn't going to have to go far anyway. I mean, I just was a new mom, and I just liked having my baby snuggle and cuddle with me until they got real old real quick.
I'm
a first-time parent. I was like, you know, this is my little baby. And you know how I was, following. I was so inexperienced. Like, I was like, if he stopped breathing, I want him to be right beside me. Like, I was just so extra when he was little.
Yeah.
So I think it was like fear, and then, like I said, I just wanted to have him in the bed with me. I mean, like I said, it was just my first baby, but I promise you I'll never do it again. I don't care if it's 15 more children. It'll never happen again, because, like I said, if he could right now, he would sleep with me every night. He asked me at least a couple times a week, Mama, can I sleep with you? And he ate. And I had to shut him down all the time. But, I mean, it was just because I just was infatuated with having a baby.
For real.
Yeah. And now, go ahead.
I said, I have 4 boys. My oldest is 21 and my youngest is 12. So I had all my boys slept with me probably for the first month or two. And then, like you said, cribs and playpen as they got older, that was even in my room. For me, it was so I could be cautious. My oldest I had at 16, so everything was new. I was a young mom, so I needed to know what was going on. And then I think for some kids and for some parents, if you have, I know some people whose babies have seizures, so the thing of their baby being in another room is like absolutely a no, cause so that you can hear and see what's going on with these kids. Sometimes it's just quicker to reach out and get them right there versus having to run to another room.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, our babies slept in the room with us. They were in their, you know, bassinet or playpen or whatever,
I was going to say that I thought you did bring the babies in the room with you in day bed.
Yeah, that's what we did. which, you know, they tell you not to put the babies in the bed with you because, you know, you could roll over on them and suffocate them and, you know, things like that, because they have had cases where that has happened. However, we know a lot of people still sleep with the babies in the bed, and it does happen. But that's what they're saying now. You know, that's what they tell you not to do, and I think they're pushing that more now than they probably did when we were babies. But all of ours, they did sleep in the room, but not in the bed. And as they got older, they would get in the bed. Mariah came and got in the bed this morning, you know. But I don't know about this attachment parenting thing. Babe, what would you do if Jeremiah said he couldn't get in bed?
I'm going to keep it coming. Lord. Dear Lord. My
God. You know, she came and got it. But, like, the boys, Jared doesn't even come get in the bed anymore. But part of that is how my husband is. You know, Kenny, he's never been with all of that. So, you know, after two, that's about it. After two, you don't get in the bed anymore.
Unless you
sick. And he's still.
And I don't have no choice. My wife still like,
oh, you know, I think, but we do see that. We see that a lot, and I do. I think people just have, you know, a lot of different reasons. But with this, they. With this, they do. You know, this theory, they encourage. Encourage that. So, I don't know. So, does anybody else have anything about the attachment parenting?
I want to say this. I don't know how relative it is, but, you know, God bless us with kids. And God also say, don't love nothing harder than you love him. And
right.
As a parent, we all love our children because we are supposed to love them. But I don't feel in my mind, in my heart, that you just go overboard like that about a child, because that child was given to you and it can easily be taken from you, and you might not even sit and understand the reason why. I had Tenora Jones say something to me. And she was saying to me that her and her daughter was inseparable. She said that was her best friend. She said, but God just showed me that you're not going to love nothing more than you love me. So I would bring her home with me. And that's, in a sense to me, is a fearful thing, because that's something that we're supposed to know and we don't do. But with her right now, she is, you know, moving on and understand, but I never thought she was going to be able to make it when that baby got killed. But that's what she shared with me, that God showed her and spoke to her. So, you know, those kind of things I'm just really weary of. And don't get me wrong, I love my children, and I love my grandchildren, but it's just certain things we just ain't going to do.
That's true.
The Bible does. Not.
Yeah, it does. And the Bible does talk about, you know, not having another God before him. So, you know, if we're Christians, that's definitely something that we have to, you know, be mindful of. And I think, you know, sometimes people don't mean to do that. A lot of times people don't mean to do that, but it happens. You know, with parenting, we're all trying to do the best that we can do. I don't know if there's really a right or wrong way to a lot of this. You know, we don't come with a handbook. Every child is different. All three of ours are different. You know, we have to handle them differently. And so, you know, the best thing to do is to do the best we can. Pray, talk to other people, you know, that can help us and you know, listen to wisdom, even if you don't use everything they say, but, you know, still something. We always take away something when you're talking to someone that has, you know, been down that road and giving you wisdom. And so, you know, make sure that we're being a support for each other when it comes to this, because parenting is hard. And I think in this day and time, it's getting even harder. I think we can all probably agree on that, just because of the world that we live in. But I just wanted to go over one thing before we get off the phone. It's 9 o'clock now. So before we go, last time we talked about, you know, January being Thyroid Awareness Month. So this month I just want to touch on Cervical Health Awareness Month. January is Cervical Health Awareness Month. So, ladies, let's make sure we're getting our annual, every year, woman checkup. Now they're only doing, some people are only, they're saying you only need a pap smear every 3 years. That's what they say. So, you know, let's make sure when our 3 years come up, you know, we're getting them so that they can check and see if there are any abnormal cells or whatever. There are more than 11,000 women per year that get cervical cancer. also, you know, HPV, the human papillomavirus. They start giving vaccines between the ages of 11 to 12. They give two doses. The first dose is at 11 to 12, and then 6 to 12 months after that. If you believe in vaccines, we know a lot of people do not believe in vaccines, and then some people are very weary of the HPV vaccine. But if it's something that you're comfortable with, then, you know, that is something that they encourage. There are many types of HPV from what I read. Most of us, you know, most women who are sexually active, you will come in contact with one kind at some point, but a lot of them disappear. However, the ones that don't, it can cause cancer and genital warts of the vulva, vagina, penis, or anus, and you can also get HPV in your mouth and your throat. So make sure, you know, we're getting tested for those. They do have an HPV test now. Some of them, you know, you can have it for years and don't get signs until years later. So we have to make sure that we are staying on top of our health. So that's what I wanted to address on tonight. And then we'll come back Friday. I have another one. And then Friday we're going to have a very interesting topic. If you know anyone that is dealing with infertility, then I ask that you, you know, would have them to listen in or call in or whatever, because we're not going to talk about infertility. Well, it indirectly we'll be discussing infertility, but I want to talk about surrogacy. You know, talk about it, talk about the pros, the cons, and, you know, how we look at it in the Christian community. Is it a good thing? Is it not a good thing? You know, those type of things. So I ask you guys, you know, be thinking about that. Come back with some, you know, some knowledge and some opinions so we can have a discussion. But to me, that's a very interesting topic. Some things people think about, but they're scared to let other people know they're thinking about it because they're scared to see what other people are, you know, how they'll respond. So that's what we're going to talk about on Friday. And again, we thank you guys for calling in. Safoya and Tyree, we hope that you guys will call back in. You know, you guys have been newlywed. You can call in and can get a lot of knowledge on this line. We have a great panel that calls in, and they've been married for some years, raised some kids, and so they have some good information to give. So you guys have a great week. We will talk to you all on Friday. Have a good night.
Good night. You too. Bye-bye.